Over the last few weeks we've been talking about, Pastor Joe has, you know, the resurrection power. We just had Easter a few weeks ago, but I want to continue to talk about that today. But I'm going to use a scripture that we normally use during Christmas. So I thought, well, why not? You know, it's kind of spring. It's a great time to read Christmas scriptures. So I'd like to share with you the story of an angel showing up and telling a young teenage girl that God is about to do some really scary but amazing things in her life. And her response to that, and I really believe that in the midst of that, as we go through that scripture, that I just want you guys to know that God's power is truly with us, and it's in us, and it's over us. And we can change, that God's power is alive and well, and it's here, and it's now, and we can access God's power. He wants to, you know, he wants to change our lives. He wants his power to come in and totally radically work us over. And it's not just something that happened back then. When we read scripture, it's not these stories, cute stories from back then, you know, the Christmas stories, the Easter stories, you know, they're just not like, oh, that's just really neat. The reality, they happened. People, there's a reality to these stories and a power in these stories that truly bring life to us and change us. So I just want to read through this scripture. Bear with me. I'm not the best reader in the world, but this scripture, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, is Luke 1, 26 through 38. And I'm pretty sure you know it's going to be about Mary, because there's only one Christmassy scripture where an angel comes down and talks to a young teenage girl. So, you know, if you figured out it was Mary, good job. All right, let's start reading. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" Or another way she says, "How can this be?" "I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So there's all kinds of things going on in this scripture. You know, I mean, it's just packed with all kinds of prophecies and fulfillments and all kinds of statements from the Old Testament about who the Messiah will be, and this angel saying this to her. And the reality of the situation was, is, you know, Mary was a young teenage gal, and I mean, could you imagine standing there and this angel shows up and is like, "Oh, by the way, you know, you're going to have the Son of God." It's like, whoa, you know, so it's not surprising. She's like, "What?" You know, like, how's this going to be? That's the modern translation. So when they say in the old, or in the scriptures, when it says, "How's this going to be?" You can translate that to the "What?" That's pretty much, that's word for word, straight from the Greek. Okay, maybe not. Anyways. But I like to go through this and just with Mary's responses and what she said and what the Holy Spirit does, and just kind of look at the fact that God's power truly is here to change our lives. And the first one is that God is with you. God is with us. So just as the angel tells Mary, she says, "The Lord is with you." He shows up and he says, "The Lord is with you." Some of the last words that Jesus said to us was that, it's in Matthew 28:20. He says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So God is with us. That's, you know, when, if we were in If it was Christmas, we'd say, we talk a lot about Emmanuel, right? That God is with us. That's what that word means. That was one of the names for Jesus, that he is Emmanuel. Well, here, you know, after Easter, it's still the same. He is still Emmanuel. He is still God with us. And he is always with us. And, you know, I used to kind of wonder, it's like, well, God said he'd always be with us, but then he disappeared. He lived his life, he died on the cross, he rose again, he showed up to his disciples, and then he took off in a cloud. Now, I kind of wonder what that looked like. You know, have you ever seen the pictures? They do the drawings of, they call it the Ascension, you know, and Jesus is always in a robe, and he's kind of usually like in a pose like this, and it's like, and he's like just lifting up. I don't know, that just seems a little kind of lame. Maybe not. I just picture him kind of like, maybe, you know, like Superman. He stands there and he goes, poof, and then he takes off or something. Now that would be cool. I think that's more like it. This whole like dainty cloud thing, I just don't know. That's just weird. Anyway, that's just me. That's just me. Sorry. Back to, where was I? Oh yeah. Anyway, so he disappears. So we're thinking, well, how can God be with us? Well, that's the cool thing, is that he didn't leave us. He didn't abandon us. He sent his Holy Spirit. And in Luke 24:49, we see, he says to them, I am going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. So he's telling his disciples, he's like, I'm going, yes, but the Holy Spirit's coming. And I want you guys to hang out in the city. And when it comes, he's going to come in power. So we have today with us the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives. It's here, it's now. It's not just something for back then. It's not just something that's going to come in the sweet by and by. Here and now, God is truly with us. He is with us. He is for us. He's standing there. His presence is here. He's guiding and directing. And I can imagine, you know, reading about Mary. You know, she starts out, you know, when the angel shows up, she's like, what? Remember that paraphrase, right? But by the end of it, she's like, okay, whatever. I'm God, you said you were here. You declared this. I'm going to trust you. And that's the kind of thing that we can have today. That statement of I am with you, how that affects us is it gives us this peace and this ability to say, even now in the midst of a turbulent life, no matter what's going on, that we can say, okay, I have peace. I can trust you. I can relax. God is with us. Whatever circumstances we face, we don't have to be afraid. You know, and the angel, one of the first things he says is, you know, a lot of times in the Bible when they show up, he says, fear not. And that's a great statement because, I don't know, you might think about descriptions of angels and the ones that are really depictive in the Bible is like of a wheel with a hub and a bunch of eyes, you know, or the cherub, or, you know, other types of angels. They've got wings over their eyes and they got all these kinds of wings and eyeballs everywhere and stuff. I mean, these are the pictures that they talk about of angels. So when he shows up, you know, unfortunately, we probably picture this like big buff guy, you know, like, hey, and he's got like Favio hair or like Luke hair. You know, and you know, it's all long and blonde. He's got blue eyes and he's all like, hey, fear not. You know, I bet you, I mean, I don't know what he looked like, but maybe he had eyes all over the place. I don't know. Who knows? But it's like, whoa, this is scary. But when he speaks the word of God, when he tells Mary, God is with you, there's a peace, there's a calm, there's a, okay, life is good. It doesn't mean that, like, when he said that, when he declared to Mary what was going on, it wasn't like, okay, this is going to be a piece of cake, you know? So you're engaged to somebody else, and you're going to have to tell him and your parents that you're pregnant without having ever been with a man, and they're going to have to maybe believe you somehow. And not only that, you've never had sex. Not only that, it's the Son of God. I mean, it's like, you know, that obviously at that time, that was something that was punishable by death. So this angel wasn't declaring to her like all warm and fuzzy feelings and like, hey, I'm here now and life's going to be awesome. He was saying, God is here now. God is with you. God is always with you. even through these times that are coming that are going to be a little bit crazy. And how many of you can relate to having crazy times in your life? And if you know, if you can't, then you're either way too young or stupid or something. I don't know. But just in denial. Yes, you're living by the river in Egypt. By denial. I mean, we all have hard times. Life isn't always perfect. But what's awesome is with God, Him always being there, we can have peace. At the end of it, we can say, okay, God, you're here. I know you're here. And I can let you do what you want. So when Jesus is with us, when God is with us, we can have peace. That's how it changes our lives. We can relax. All right, the next one. So God is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Part of the scripture, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and conceived in her. Because she's like, remember the translation again? What? It's like, how's that possible? It's like, I've never been with a dude and you're telling me I'm going to get pregnant. Something miraculous happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to know that He wants us to do, or He wants us to be in that same place. The Holy Spirit is with us. In John 1, 12 through 13, this is how Jesus describes this whole understanding of the Holy Spirit being in us. But to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but by a birth that comes from God. So, as the Holy Spirit birthed something physical in Mary, created something physical in us, He wants to create something spiritual. He wants to rebuild us. And this is where we get the saying, born again. You ever heard, you know, they talk about that on the news. They talk about evangelicals and they throw this born again term. And a lot of people are like, born again? That's just weird. What does that mean? I have no idea. And there's another guy in the Bible, Nicodemus, who's like, had the same issue. He's like, he met with Jesus one time. He's a Pharisee. He meets with Him at night. And he's like, Jesus, I can see that you're good. I can see that you're God. I can see that, you know, the kingdom of God is with you and all about you. And Jesus says to him, He says, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. And this is where, once again, I'm going to translate. He goes, what? Because he's like, he says pretty much the same thing as Mary does. How can this be? What? That's just weird. You know, and so he even asked Jesus, how can anyone be born again? Surely, you know, an old guy can't, you know, get back into his mother. He's like, Jesus, that's weird. You know, and it's funny because we read that story and we, at least when I do, maybe you read it and you think you don't have a problem with that. But when I read that, I would think the same thing. He has no context whatsoever for what Jesus is talking about. We have 2,000 years of history and the Bible and to say, so when we read that statement, we're like, well, obviously he's talking spiritually. But this guy at the time is like, that's just weird. How do you be born again? And Jesus says, once again, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So he says, once again, he's saying that, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the victory over sin and death, the resurrection power of Christ is here in us when we believe. That's what he says we read earlier. When you believe and trust in Jesus, you are reborn. You are reborn. Something in you, your spirit, your being, the essence of who you are, was spiritually dead and now is spiritually alive. You are reborn. And that is awesome. That is spectacular. So I don't know where you guys are in your journey with Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, Jesus, I don't know yet. Not quite sure. Or you've walked with Him for a long time. No matter where you're at, this is good news. Because He can make you new. If you feel spiritually dead, if you feel spiritually lost, Jesus can take you from that spiritual dead state, and you surrender to him, and you are reborn. There is something birthed in you. And if you've been walking with him for a long time, what that means is that you can change. The power of God is here today. It is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can change. So how does this affect me? We can actually change. You know, there's times in our lives where we maybe not really excited about our lives or who we are as a person or how we're acting or how we're treating others or whatever it is, or we're struggling with something that keeps dogging us. Well, you know what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change. That's good news. So we can be reborn spiritually, brought into the kingdom of God, and then we can continually grow and be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the scripture talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that when that you allow the Holy Spirit to live in your life, those are the things that bear fruit. And I've said this like 8 million times, but it's really scary to pray for patience. God, I really want the fruit of the Spirit in me that involves patience. Oh, man. It's like, he's like, okay, here, try this situation on, you know. And a lot of times you don't quite get there. We kind of start trying to do things on our own strength, and I can handle this. I can be a patient guy. And then, you know, he just sticks you in a room full of juvenile delinquent boys, and who happen to all be in the back row right now. Just kidding. You guys are awesome. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we can change, though. We can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have those things in our life. Doesn't mean that life's always, you know, butterflies and roses, but we can change. So God is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the last one is Jesus is over us. The last thing Mary says is, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. So Mary's response is, I am the Lord's servant. So she goes from, kind of, it says she was confused and disturbed, to what? To, I am the Lord's servant. She surrenders and yields to him. That is a submission to the will of God, to his power, to what he's going to do. What's really cool about that is Mary acknowledges the lordship of God, acknowledges he is God, his plan, his purposes. That's why Jesus is over us. And in that, she says, I am a blank piece of paper. Write any story you want. And God does a miraculous thing through her, remembered through all of time and beyond, as the one who gave her life, in a sense, to allow Jesus to do whatever he wanted to do. Jesus is over us. We are called to be in that same place. And once again, you know, it wasn't immediately easy for her. Because there was that, she was confused and disturbed. I mean, this angel shows up, and then, I mean, even when he leaves, you know, what's the last thing? It says, let me look it up here, sorry. And then the angel left her. So, you know, that might be all good for the Favio angel guy. I mean, he just takes off and he gets to go back to heaven. But then Mary's there, and now, I mean, how many sleepless nights after that did she have? Or how many hours of kind of like going back and forth between, I really trust what happened and what God said he's going to do, to, I got to tell my fiance, guess what? I'm pregnant. And of course he's going to see, was it the mailman? You know, I mean, these people were human. They struggled with this kind of stuff. But yet she still surrendered. She still gave her life over to the Lord. So we're called to be that same, in that same place. So when we surrender to Jesus, when we believe and commit our lives to Him, and we are spiritually reborn. It's not just about, okay, good, now I'm, it's not about fire insurance. It's not about, okay, good, now I'm going to make heaven. We need to continually surrender our lives to Him and understand that, you know, God is loving, He is gracious, He is kind, He is merciful. He is always pursuing us and drawing us in. The scriptures say it is the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. You know, it's not this mighty strong hand. So in all of that, He is loving and gracious. But He is still God. He is still so far above who we are. He's not, you know, a lucky charm. Okay, good. I'm going to get into heaven. And, you know, every now and then, if I need something, I'll check in with you. But until then, just hang out there on a cloud or whatever it is you do. You know, that's not God. We are His servants. We are His servants. We surrender our lives to Him. So how does that change me? How does that affect my life? Well, it means that I can have peace. I really like this statement. I really like being able to surrender to the Lord and give Him control. But it's really hard for me to do. I'm a get-her-done kind of guy. Get-her-done for Jesus. That's a great motto, you know. But on the other hand, when I do that and I hang on all the time, It just stresses me out. It just overwhelms me. It just means that I'm running on my own energy and my own fuel. And I'm trying to do things for God. And he's like, hello. You know, that's not how we're going to do it. So it's not easy. But when I can truly come before Him and all of life's stuff and all the things I got to do, when I can surrender that to Him, it's an awesome, wonderful feeling of peace. It's like, okay, I'm not in charge. Yes. You know, I'm not in charge. He is. Whew. And well, this is another thing I say to you guys all the time. You know, if I was in charge, you would all be dead. Just saying. You know, if I was in, you know, because if any one of us was God, we'd just like lightning bolt everybody. I don't care how loving you think you are, but there's times where everyone is going to take you off and they're not as good as you, right? It's like... Don't like that guy. You know, I don't get how God operates in complete justice and mercy at the same time. You know, I can't do that. I swing one to the other. You know, one day I'm just like, let's just kill everybody, you know, and then the next day, let's just love everybody. Why can't we just all get along? You know, I mean, it's just weird. But God's not like that. He is perfect. He is holy. He is magnificent. He is above every other name. He is mighty. He is awesome. He is full of grandeur and power. And, you know, He has all power and authority, which means that He has the ability to do what He wants to do, and He has the right to do it. There's a difference between power and authority. You know, you may be, for example, you know, you could walk out into the middle of the street and, or maybe drive out in the middle of the street with a big bulldozer, right? So you have the power to stop traffic, right? But you don't have the authority. But you put a police officer in that bulldozer, he has a lot of power and authority. And actually, he doesn't even need the bulldozer. He just stands in the middle of the street and sticks up his hand, and he has the power and the authority to stop you. You know, that's what Jesus has. And what's awesome about Jesus, he has the power to do what he wants. He has the authority to do it, but he also has the willingness and the love and the grace to do it too. One of my favorite stories and verses in the Bible is when the leopard comes up to Jesus and he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I want to be healed if you are willing. And Jesus is like, I'm willing, and just heals him. That's awesome. He had the power, the authority, and the desire. So even in all of that, though, we need to remember he's still God. He is still God above every other name. Jesus is amazing. So how does that change me? How does that power affect who I am? I mentioned, you know, it means I can have peace. But another thing is, like I kind of alluded to, but it means I can get stuff done. That means I can surrender to him and allow him to use me to get stuff done that has eternal impact and consequences on my life and the people around me. God wants to use you. He wants you to do things. It means that the stuff I do every day, it matters. Because I'm there to invite Jesus into that. Whatever your occupation is, whatever you're doing, whatever from school to occupation, you know, to something in, you know, white collar, blue collar, whatever it is your job, stay at home, mom, whatever it is you're doing, you can invite Jesus into that. And it has significance because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're inviting him into that, and you want him to, you know, be glorified and magnified in that. So it means I can do stuff. I can get stuff done. It means life matters. It counts. And that's encouraging to me. I want to be in that place where I can yield my life to him and surrender to him and allow him to speak through me and to touch the lives of people around me. We beat this mantra into the youth group. Love God, love people. What's my purpose in life? Love God, love people. Well, what does that mean I got to do? I don't know. I really don't care. Go out and do something. What are you gifted in? You like to write, go write and love God and love people through that. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes we overcomplicate stuff. It's like just surrender to him, love God, love people. He's wired you, designed you, created you for, you know, to be a certain way, to have a certain temperament. You know, I got a certain personality, you got a certain personality, and that's why sometimes we don't like each other. But in the midst of that, we get along, we allow God to use us, and his power comes in. He does amazing things through us, whatever it is. Love God, love people. And, you know, maybe that's an oversimplification, but sometimes I think we just complicate it too much. If you're sitting right now and you're wondering, what does God want to do with, you know, what does he want me to do? You know, or you're wondering, does God, you know, how does he want me to use me? How does he want to minister? You know, if you're waiting for, you know, a word of the Lord, I'm going to give it to you right now. Okay, ready? Hey, you, get out of the church. There you go. Go bless people. Go get out of here. Go bless people. Not yet. Wait till I'm done, but then you can leave. You know, go love God and love people. And know that God's power is here for you now. Here and now today to energize you, to fill you up, to give you the words, you know, to say. And to, when you say the stupidest things, he can cover for you, you know. You have a mandate now. Go out. No excuses. Go out and love God and love people wherever you're at. Teachers and doctors and, you know, law enforcement and whatever, bricklayers and whatever it is, whatever you're doing. Love God, love people in the midst of that, because the power of God is here to change your life and those around you now. God is with you. God is in you. And Jesus is over us. So I was going through this, and in the book of Jude, there is the last two verses of the book of Jude is a doxology. It's the final, the amen. I always think of that when I think of doxology, you know. Some guy standing there holding a little cross, waving this little incense thing going back and forth, going, amen. I don't know why. That's what I think of when I think of doxology. So, sorry. But anyways, Jude 24 through 25. This is a doxology. And this, to me, it kind of wrapped up all of what this was about the fact that, of God's glorious power and nature. And I want to just declare this over you today. I want this to be the anthem that, you know, we leave with today. Jude 24 through 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Think about that. You can change. You can walk this life with joy and happiness. And, you know, I'm not saying maybe necessarily 24/7, but your life can be characterized by moving towards Jesus and changing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Whoa! We talked about that a few weeks ago. The whole bride, you know, Jesus is the bridegroom and his church, we are the bride. There's going to be a time where he presents us spotless to God the Father. There's going to be a huge party and a banquet, and it's going to be awesome. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you without fault and with joy, think about that. You can change. It's not because of you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the power of what Jesus did in you. Present you without fault and great joy to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Man, when I was reading that, I was just like, that's really good stuff. You know, some of it's my personality. I'm a spaz. I admit that. You know, come on. I'm 46 and I'm working with a youth group and they think I'm as immature as they are. So, but this is like, come on. Whatever. But this is a living, this is the truth. This is who God is. Majesty, glory, power, and authority. Before time and after time and everything in between. That's who we have access to. That's who we are serving. That's who our king is. It's not some dead guy, you know, who died 2,000 years ago and that's the end of the story. And we're all hoping, you know, we just make it through. No, you can live a life full and rich. You can live a life full of joy. And I'm not saying every day you're going to be like, oh, I'm so happy. You know, but underlying who you are, there can be a strength and a power because of what he has done. Because Jesus is over us. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Just breathe that in. I don't even know how, but just let that resonate in your spirit. Let that rise up in you. God is for you. God loves you. God is with you. God, when you surrender your life to him and you say, God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. He comes in, he dwells in you. He raises you up. You are reborn. You come alive and you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think I've maybe shared this story before, but I was talking with a nephew of mine a while back, and we were talking about miracles, and he's like, how come we don't see any miracles nowadays, like in the Bible? You know, all these people being healed, and, you know, I mean, we could pretty much fix, you know, the hunger problem if we could just take some bread and loaves and, you know, just kind of keep dividing it. I mean, if the Union Gospel Mission could do that, they'd be like, sweet, that'd be pretty awesome, right? But I said, you know what? What's really cool, though, is what's happening every day is the miracle of salvation. What about all those people around the world every day who are lost? What about your salvation? What about the time where you said, Jesus, I surrender to you, and you were reborn? That's a miracle. I think sometimes we forget that. There's miracles happening all around us. People are changing. There's drug addicts being set free. There's marriages that are falling apart that come alive again because of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's anger issues that get submitted to the Lord and get tempered and get dealt with. And I mean, those are miracles every day. I have sat with people who have, for years, have not been able to forgive their mother or their father because of legitimate pain. And then they would be able to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, say, I forgive. That's a miracle. It's amazing to be in those moments with people like that. Because in that moment, sometimes you feel a physical, tangible weight just blow off them. And there's a joy in their face because they were able to let go of this anger or hatred or unforgiveness they'd had for years. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. We can't do that on our own. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.